Welcome to the Enduring Churches podcast with Alan and Trent. We're here to help you as a pastor, as a leader, as a church member to endure.
Hey, welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast. I'm Alan and I'm here with Trent, and we are having a wonderful time today. We're so excited to be able to talk to you about a subject that we know something about. And what's that, Trent?
Well, let me set the stage for you, Alan. It's Saturday night and you're struggling. You've been praying all week long. God, what do you want me to preach? And it's like, nada. Nothing. You have those times when you just have sermon block, like writer's block. What am I going to do? Well, today we want to give you some things to think about, maybe a tool to stick in your toolbox to help you, because we want you to be successful. We want you to have something to say on Sunday mornings to your folks. So today we're going to talk about sermon block, Alan. I'm sure that there's a lot of us who have dealt with that, and I know that you and I both have.
Yeah, I can't even think of anything to say. I'm lost right now.
That's brain block. That's a different thing.
Okay. Well, I live there a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I've certainly experienced a time in my life where I've had sermon block, and I've probably preached a few sermons that people wanted to block. So.
Yeah, that's you and me both, man. At least on the way home, I'm always like, what was I thinking, you know? But yeah, today
I think Rochelle knows when I've preached a bad sermon because I don't ask. I just kind of hang my head in shame. But anyway, yeah, go ahead, Trent. I'm sorry.
No problem. Well, you know, and here's the deal, guys. Maybe sometimes we just need to learn to laugh at ourselves because we know we're not perfect, right? And so God, he promises us the Holy Spirit who will be our interpreter. So sometimes our folks don't even hear what we say, but God is speaking to their hearts anyway. So keep that in mind. But today, one of the things that we want to start off with is that you need to have a plan. You may not plan your entire year, but begin putting a framework together. Where do you want to go during the course of the year? What things do you want to your folks to be able to learn? And Alan, I know that you spend a pretty good amount of time doing your plan for the year. Are there things that you think about as you develop your plan for your church?
Yes, definitely. I love actually the idea of trying to map out a year at a time. And I try to give myself some flexibility in there. I don't want to paint myself into a corner I can't necessarily get out of if something happens and I need to address something else. But I think it's important to have a plan. And when you have a plan, you are much less likely to kind of run across those times of sermon block because you know what you're doing. And so, you know, people who are maybe verse by verse or long series preachers, you know, you're probably not going to run into a block as much because you always know where you're going and you know kind of what's next. And you have a system that you're probably kind of following along that keeps you in that. But for many of us, that's not our style. And that's really not the way that we go. We like to do shorter series because they make great inroads for people coming into your church. And for me, I like to preach something that has to do with a vision. And so in January, I'm always preaching a visional type series. I like to take some time to explore a book of the Bible or a passage, a longer passage of the Bible. I like to try to cover something that is doctrinal at some point in time. And I like to try to cover something that is topical at some point in time. And I think about all those things and I think about timing of those things and I have a calendar and I have a plan and I start jotting ideas down for 2021 already. So yeah, it's important to kind of have some kind of plan that works for you.
Yeah. And Alan, you're way more, I don't know, put together. You're way more organized than I am on that deal. I typically, when I'm planning, all I may put down is a title. You know, And right now I've got a series and so of titles that I've written down, not only for Sunday mornings, but I also teach on Wednesday nights. And so I've got those and I've kind of, and I'm fleshing those out. But just having those titles helps me to be looking for things throughout the course of the week and months. And I'm gathering notes, you know, throughout that time. So your organization may look different depending on your personality too.
Yeah, no one should do it the same. Just because I do it a certain way doesn't mean that's the best way to do it. And so find a plan that works for you. I was listening to someone else. They like to take, they like to take one day every 3 months to do their sermon planning. Whatever works for you. Whatever works for you. Find a way to make it work. And the second one is this, to come up with a regular time and place. So if you have a good habit, you're going to be in practice. And so this is kind of like your practice. If you've got a regular time and place, this is, you know, like your daily workout or something like that. This is going to help you be in the practice of doing sermons. So where do you like to do a lot of your preparation, Trent?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that because I have a certain chair in my house that I go to in the mornings, and that's my devotional chair. That's I've got all my stuff gathered around me. And so sometimes I, you know, have that, you know, time to work on sermons or think about stuff there, or even in the middle of devotional times, I'll write down, I have my prayer journal and I'll write down ideas in there or put them in Evernote, which we both use quite a bit. But, you know, we may think, well, I don't have time. And this is a discipline, a spiritual discipline even, that we need to put in place that we fence off time. I know if you're like Alan and I and you pastor a smaller church where you're the guy who's doing so many different things, wearing lots of different hats, you may, you know, have a plan and sometimes it gets messed up because you've got to go to the hospital or you've got to go be at a meeting, whatever. But do your best to protect some time because you're going to need that to put all your sermon planning together.
Yeah, I use my house more and more. We kind of worked up an agreement with our church to give our staff some time to work from home where there are fewer distractions. And so I've actually, the very desk that I'm sitting at right now doing the podcast is a place I like to sit at and work on my messages. And so that can be a help, but sometimes I will mix it up. Sometimes I like to get out and go somewhere else to do that just for a change of pace. If I'm really working and trying to communicate something to people, I might go somewhere where there's more people and take my laptop. So I might head down to Chick-fil-A or something like that and work on some stuff. But it just helps if you get into the habit and practice. And if you're doing that, you're going to do much better at avoiding the issue of sermon block. And then the next part, it's a little more technical, but that's, you know, how do you get to know your passage? You know, a lot of times I think what we do is we know of a passage in our mind and we'll put a sermon together around that passage before we've ever really studied the passage. And that's not the right process. So what do we need to do with that, Trent? How do you do that?
Well, again, if God is God and he's the one who is providing the increase, then we need to start talking with him, don't we? You know, just if we have a passage, start praying through it, reading it several times, and then just praying for God to give us insight because he's the one who wrote it. It is his word. Let him talk to you about it. To me, Alan, that is the place to start. You know, it's a great, I'd love, you just want to hear the heart of God about what he gave us in his word.
And so you're saying we need to pray about it. You're saying we need to study it. You know, that's where it always begins. That's what we should always be doing. I know some people who will take that passage, they'll just write kind of maybe the main verse or something, the key verse up at the top of a page and they'll write that several times and almost try to commit that even to memory at times. But yes, we need to pray for it. And, we need to study it. And then, you know, just like we did when we were in seminary, and we probably did better at this when we were in seminary and we were students, but we need to look at outside resources. And so I do have commentaries. That was a long time ago. Yeah. Can you still spell commentary?
Well, I can't spell seminary anymore. So yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That was a long time ago, but you're right, Alan, that we do need to look at, you know, don't be afraid. And there's so much stuff that's available. You know, used to be, gosh, do you remember, Alan? I remember when they would come to us at seminary and they'd have these huge set of commentaries and they were thousands of dollars. And oh my gosh, I couldn't afford any of that stuff. But now there's so much available online for us that you don't really have to spend a whole lot, but you can find a lot of that same stuff online.
And there's some great commentaries that have entered public domain these days. So there's a lot of them that are out there. And I would encourage you, if you don't have a church budget, you know, a budget line item for your pastoral library, that is not a luxury. That really is kind of a job requirement. And your church, mm-hmm. you need to talk to your church, and again, that about having a line item for your library. And that library is not just to get a bunch of things that you want to read. It's not about just getting books from popular pastors or this or that. Use that to resource it, whether that's getting an online subscription or whatever. But get some technical books out there that can help you study. And there's a lot of great resources out there. The hard one is to find ones that are trustworthy and to know who's trustworthy. But again, go back into your seminary education or those that you trust in ministry and ask who they're reading. Look at the people you like and who did they read? Who did they study from? And so you'll get some input from that. So look at outside resources.
Right.
And then, You said we should be Renaissance men. I like that. What do you mean?
Well, that was my goal for a lot of my life, was that I wanted to be a Renaissance man. I wanted to know enough about lots of different things so that I could have a conversation with anybody. And through that, I like to learn new things, you know, and about totally different topics. And it seems like God always gives me, you know, opportunities to learn about something that fits in with his word. And so I know that we like to study scripture and we need to start there, but, you know, reading stories about agriculture, man, there's a ton of sermon illustrations there, engineering, all kinds of things. I like to know how things are made. So be a Renaissance man and look in other places, read other types of topics as well.
Yeah, one of the things I did this past year, had one of those school fundraisers come to me about a magazine subscription. And I said, okay, let me look and see. And I looked through and saw, ooh, Popular Science. I love reading about some of the new things in science. And so I got that. And there's been several things I'm like, ooh, I can use this sometime. And so, yeah, read in different areas. Find something else that interests you and read about that, or get an audio book about it. There's a lot of ways to get new information today. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you're doing that. And then we also just keep notes. We use, you mentioned it earlier, we use Evernote a lot, but keep notes. Whenever you have a sermon series idea or sermon idea, find a way to jot that down into something. So you have those ideas written down, because you'll tell yourself, oh, that's so good, I'm going to remember that. And 10 minutes later, you can't remember what it was.
Exactly. Yeah. And I like it, Alan. I like Evernote because I've got a folder in my Evernote that I just call sermon ideas. And I've got, I don't know, 400 or 500 different files of possible things. And they may only be just a few words or a scripture or a book title or something like that. But it's, at least I can scroll through that and it's like, oh yeah, I remember that. And so I have something that I can look through and be reminded of. And so we really want to encourage you. Like I said, we like Evernote, but find your own tool. Maybe it's a, you know, manila folder or whatever that you have in your desk, but keep some ideas around, write some notes.
So that's getting to know your passage. And then the next thing you want to do is, you know, take the passage with you somewhere, whether you're going on a walk or you're going to the gym or a drive, whatever it is you like to do, do something that allows you to just kind of, I think, stew in it, so to speak. I think that that is one of my favorite things to do in sermon preparation. When I don't have the time to do that, those are the times that I get really frustrated in preaching.
Yeah. Don't you need some time to, you know, just be still? That's what scripture says, to be still and know and let him be God. It's so, yeah, I agree. You know, sometimes we just need to get away from our desk, get away from our computer and walk. I agree. I mean, I like to get out and think, and it's amazing how God speaks to us in the midst of those times where we just open up our hearts and minds and let him talk to us. And another thing that I thought of too is that, you know, be aware of what's going on around you. And if you're always holed up in your office, you're not always aware of what's happening in your community. And God gives us opportunities to speak to those things that are happening in our community. And, you know, as you're doing that now, you got to be careful. There's two, you know, $5 words here that you need to be aware of. And we don't want to do eisegesis. We want to do exegesis. And if you're not familiar with those terms, eisegesis is reading into scripture, that we put our own thoughts and our own format into scripture when it may not be saying that. Exegesis means to draw out of, and we need to draw out what God says through his word, not us reading into what we want his word to say. Does that make sense, Alan?
Oh, that's a powerful word and an important word. And, you know, it happens a lot. I think we see that a lot more commonly than we think we do. Where, especially, I think a good example is when people start talking about end times, and we'll start reading our circumstances, and then we'll put those back into the Bible and say, "See, it's obvious that this is what it means," and we don't bother to look at what the context of what that passage actually was saying. And so we need to be careful when we're using those words. And exegesis is good; eisegesis is not so good.
That's exactly right.
We want to remember those things. Well, what about asking for help from others? That's something else that we have down when you don't know what to say or you're feeling a little bit blocked. Have you ever asked anyone to give you some thoughts on a passage that you wanted to preach through?
Oh, yeah. And if you're a minister or a church leader, I hope that you have some friends that are in ministry that you can just have coffee with, sit down and just visit and brainstorm together. Man, I love those times. That's Alan and I get to do that quite a bit as we're, you know, before we record these podcasts or in the middle of or whatever, we get to talk to each other and ask, you know, well, what do you think about this passage or what are your thoughts about this? And I'm always, it helps me to think in different ways about something. So I think we need help. Do you get to do that, Alan, with other folks?
Yes, I try to ask some folks every now and then, especially during some topics that maybe are harder to preach through or maybe delicate. You know, how can I communicate this? Or if I'm having a hard time wordsmithing something, I might head to another staff member and talk to them or reach out and call someone or do something to get some help from someone else. And so, yes, I think asking for help is a good thing. Hey, I'm stuck. I'm not seeing this passage. I'm so lost in it that I don't know where to start. So ask someone.
Well, and
where do they see it starting?
Alan, I wanted to throw in here too that don't forget your spouse. When you're talking, asking for help and talking through your sermon, for me, Dana, man, she's a blessing because she helps me to think through, you know, the things that I'm saying and to think from a lady's perspective. And that helps me tremendously. So don't forget, when you're needing help thinking through this, don't forget your spouse. They're your helpmate. God has given them to you as a gift, and they have a wealth of wisdom to be able to share with you.
You know, one of my favorite memories is when I was preaching through Ephesians, and we came to the passage about husbands love your wives, wives submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And we were going through that passage, and I was like, what can I do to communicate this passage? And so I asked Rochelle, I said, Rochelle, would you help me teach this passage? And so she came up on stage with me for that message, and we co-taught that one. And she was able to come at that from her perspective and share from her heart how God had worked that passage in her life. And I think that that's a day that some people will still talk about, and how cool that was that we shared that day together. And that was a day where I really needed help communicating, because I really wanted people to understand the heart behind that passage. And I think by having my wife up there with me, it was a huge benefit and a blessing to the church as well. So get some help. And yes, your spouse is a great source of help. Just don't always ask how it went on the other side of it, because that might not go so good. But do plan also some breaks from preaching, where you're not preaching all the time. And I heard this quote once, that your best 44 are a lot better than your mediocre 50. What do you about that, Trent, when you hear
when
that?
When you say that, I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes me think. And it's absolutely true, right? If we're able to give our best at a smaller number of sermons, instead of just kind of, oh, I'm going to hammer through these, you know, these 52 weeks of this year. Plus, I think our church family needs a break from us once in a while. through this last year, some of it was health induced, but I got to have some of my guys in my church that got to preach, and all of our folks love to hear them, and it gives them encouragement too. But I tend to bring in, I'm pretty protective of my flock, but I try to bring in some people during the course of the year, you know, four or five. And to me, I get a chance to be filled up and learn. And I think it's really good for my church as well. Do you try to bring in some folks in your church, Alan, that are guest speakers or people that, you know, other folks to give you a break?
Yeah, I don't bring in a lot of guest speakers, because I'm so blessed to have so much inside my church already. Right. Luke, very gifted preacher, and so I like to allow him that opportunity. I've got another gentleman who can come in and preach, and then I have some others who could come in and do that as well. So we have a lot just on the inside. And one of the cool things about just letting someone else share, whether that's a guest or someone, some from the inside your church, they get to say things differently than mm-hmm. you. And hopefully they're saying the same thing. They're on the same page. They're sharing the same vision, but they get to say it in a way that resonates a little bit differently. And so in a way, they get to reinforce the work that you're doing. And we can kind of become white noise to people if we hog the pulpit and we don't share that a little bit. And people won't listen as intently to us if they don't get a break from us every now and then. And so I would encourage you to make sure that you're taking 8 to 10 at least off a year where someone else can fill in. And that may be a process. You may this year, you know, maybe you only take 2 Sundays off typically, and this year you're going to try to take 4. But I would encourage you to start sharing your pulpit a little bit more if you're not in the habit of doing so already.
I think that's a good word, Alan. And you don't have to leave to, you can still be there and enjoy somebody else. You know, like you said, I know that your youth minister does a great job. My youth minister, Kelly, does an amazing job as a teacher, and I have some other guys too. I like to listen to them, and I get challenged. So you don't have to leave your church to go, you know, go out of town for that day or whatever. Just be there. And
yeah, 10 weeks of vacation might not go over really well. So.
Hey, but I'm all in. Let's try. So one of the last things that we want to say to you too is to mix it up a bit. Vary your style in preaching. Alan, you said a little bit earlier ago that you had Rochelle team teaching with you. And man, I think that's a wonderful idea. And I would imagine that really sticks out in people's minds. And it's like, oh, that was so cool when Rochelle was there with. And so that helps people a lot to vary when we vary our style.
I've done several over the course of years now, probably on average once a year, where I bring someone else up and we'll work through a passage together. We'll do something together on stage. It changes it up. I think that's important. You know, some people are really good. Maybe you have a flair for the dramatic and you can almost do like a dramatic monologue type message. I think it's okay to pull something like that out every now and then. It keeps you fresh. It mixes it up for the church, but also just, I'm a believer too in varying the style of preaching. I know that a good sermon always begins with the text. It doesn't begin with the topic, but there are topics that people need to hear about. There are topics that are relevant in people's lives, and we need to talk about those topics. So, you know, talk about some topics. You know, if the text talks about a topic, bring that topic out, talk about that topic. However it is you structure your sermons, recognize that you need to vary that up. And I think it's different too when you're preaching through a narrative, a story part of the Bible versus a more technical part of the Bible. Hopefully when you're preaching through David and Goliath, it comes out and it sounds a lot different, and how you preach that's a lot different than if you're preaching through Galatians. Mm-hmm. So just keep in mind that you need to vary your style, and that means you need to be a student of preaching. So keep learning about preaching, reading about preaching, and learning how preachers do things. And again, that will help you unlock the creativeness in your own life.
Yeah. And hopefully, you know, not only things like listening to this podcast, but listen to other pastors too, you know, and not necessarily to steal the sermon, but to see what they do. How do they present? How do they speak and things like that? I agree. We need to continually be learning. We haven't got this down. We still need to be growing in our preaching skills and styles. And so hopefully today you've gotten some ideas of things, how to deal with a block in like, what I do, God, I don't know where I'm supposed to go. And so we want to encourage you to develop that plan and get to know your passage and find out what God's word has to say. There are so many resources out there for you, and, you know, we just want to encourage you. And that's what Alan and I, why we do this podcast, is to be an encourager to you and to come alongside you. And if we can do that for you or your church, please contact us. You can go to enduringchurches.com and contact us there, and or on Facebook, look up Enduring Churches. And we want to be able to maybe do a consultation or a phone consultation with you or your church to be able to help you to endure. Thank you again for taking this time with us today. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the Enduring Churches podcast. We truly appreciate your time. Help us spread the word to your friends and family about this podcast. If you would like to be a sponsor of this program, please contact us via our Facebook page or enduringchurches.com.